This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just crawling up to 6:15. It is Kelvin and Hezril on the evening edition. And I think this hour we are sort of giving you a sneak peek into a new series called Try This at Home. Mm-hmm. And I guess what better way to kick this off than to start with gardening, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So if you have any questions about gardening, please send them our way. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we have on the line someone to help guide us through this whole process. And we have a lot of basic questions, I guess. We're now crossing over to Harbour Gill, Managing Director of Ground Control. They provide the tools, resources and knowledge for city folk to easily participate in urban edible gardening. H, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Right. So first off, as always, we like to find out how someone's dealing with the MCO. How are you dealing with it, and also how are your plants?
I think being very compliant, being at home, not gone out very much except for, you know, the basics, need to go shopping and stuff like that. It's been an interesting time to be able to do some of the things that perhaps didn't have time to do before. Trying to understand what's going on and try and work out what it's going to be like afterwards. Good to that my daughter has started online schooling, which has really, really helped, which is, you know, it helps to get into a schedule and stuff like that. So I think with my wife and myself and my daughter, we've been really just trying to get into some kind of a schedule and keep to it. Otherwise, you go a bit mad. We are very lucky. We're one of the lucky ones where we do have a garden, and it's something I'm very, very thankful and grateful for, and don't, take lightly, because I know a lot of people don't have that privilege. And so the only thing I'd say about my plants is, though, I think my plants are a bit in a state of shock that we are at home so much. Because we've been quite brutal and cut a lot of them back, so I think my plants are the ones that are go back to work, So that's how we would describe the situation with us.
Interesting. Now, modern methods of home gardening have taken off in recent years in the form of urban farming, and people can now get their own startup kits for to grow their own veggies and herbs. So how did this actually come about in the first place?
I think the interest in gardening at home and growing your own veg and stuff is like a global phenomenon that's grown over the last few years. Mm. I think that in Malaysia, we don't necessarily have had a culture of vegetable gardening at home so much as in countries like the UK and Australia, parts of Europe. And, it's very common for people to have veggie gardens. And, there's garden centers, especially just for people who do that kind of thing. The interest has been growing. You can see since I've been in the business in the last 10 years or so, you can clearly see that people are getting more and more interested, and for multiple reasons, I think. I think people want to try and understand, what's in their vegetables, worried about pesticides in their vegetables. But then just a general interest in terms of, people wanting to, urban folk, wanting to connect with nature a little bit more, and gardening is an excellent, easy way to do that. Whether you have a balcony or you have a garden or now with community gardens and the like, yeah.
So I guess we were already sort of seeing small signs of a surge in interest even before the MCO into urban gardening. But have you seen an exponential rise ever since, rise in interest ever since the MCO took off?
I, I, um, uh, the day that it was announced, I can't remember what day it was now. Was it a Tuesday, or it was announced on a Monday, and we went into lockdown on the Wednesday. Tuesday, we had just the most ridiculous amount of orders for soil, for plants, for seedlings and stuff like that. And subsequently, we haven't been able to deliver as much because of stocks and stuff like that. But people have been reaching out to us and asking us. So I can definitely see that the people are spending more time either trying to set up or, you know, redoing gardens. And not just that, but also, you know, setting up compost bins, starting compost bins, starting compost systems. So definitely.
So if you have any questions about urban gardening, you can send them our way at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
So what would you say to those of us who insist that we don't have green thumbs to garden?
The first thing I'd say is that you don't need green thumbs, you don't need green fingers. It's got absolutely nothing to do with your hands. I gave a class once, and a lady said to me, she said, you know, I think most of the plants I grow die because I have very warm hands. It has got nothing to do with your hands. What you really, really need is start with good soil. Get some good cuttings or seed, some sunshine and water, and hey presto, you can start, you know. So your hands have got very little to do with it. And basically, if you have good soil, you can, it's amazing what you can grow.
Right, and on that note, I guess about starting, what are the easiest things to grow that beginners could plant with relative success? You know, can we separate that into those of us living in landed properties versus apartments and flats?
I mean, of course, in terms of, like, you know, if you have space, if you have land, then you can grow more, maybe, you know, but some people have massive rooftops or balconies these days. But first thing I say to people is grow what you're going to use. If carrots and broccoli are the only things you use, then find another hobby, because it's going to be pretty difficult to grow those things here in the lowlands of Malaysia. But then grow what you use, but then grow. I encourage people to start growing herbs, things that you would use often. And, if you have space, like sarai, it's very easy to grow. It's a really lovely bush, pretty bush as well. And you can use it whenever you want. You know, mint, the basils, the Thai basil, the Italian basil, Genovese basil, lemon basil. They grow really, really well, really easily. And they're available for you whenever you need them. So that's the kinds of things I would encourage people to start with, yeah.
Mm. Is it fair to assume that local plants will always be easier to grow than imported varieties?
I think so. I mean, like, you know, look, you know, we have a really, really unique climate in Malaysia because of the amount of rainfall we have, and it's very evident at the moment. But also the amount of heat that we have, constant heat. So, you know, the lack of seasons, although, you know, we do have a rainy season and a dry season, and things definitely grow better in the dry season, as compared to the rainy season and vice versa. But without doubt, because of that unique climate, there's a lot we can't grow. We can't grow parsnips here. You know, you need winter to grow parsnips. So look for things that grow easily here and start with those, because you'll have more success. And with more success, you become more confident And then you can move on to try and grow harder things, you know, like tomatoes and cry every time you try and grow tomatoes.
Yeah, do you think, as the next question, do you think we can grow, could we actually grow veggies using the produce we buy from the supermarket? I understand that you can do that with spring onions, for instance. What else?
Spring onions, you basically can grow from shallots. You know, if you go, one of the things I like to do when I go to the market is pick out the shallots that are already beginning to see the green tips coming through. You know, negotiate with the auntie and tell her, look, you know, you're not going to be able to sell those. Give these for me. Give them to me for a buck, kind of thing. But there is so much. Like, you can grow so many things that you can buy from the market, from cuttings. Mint, the basil family, kangkong, sweet potato leaves, various things that you can look up online. You can grow them from cuttings, maybe just by simply putting them in water, often waiting for them to root and then plant them again. Things like ginger and turmeric, you can go to the market, buy them, let them get old, a little bit old, wait for the nodules to come out, and you can plant them, and they will very successfully grow in your garden. Try and go for the local varieties, because, you know, some ginger, for instance, they would spray some kind of chemicals on it to stop it from sprouting. So go and try and buy local varieties from the local markets. But yeah, there's a whole host of things that you can easily go and buy that can be easily seeded or sprouted.
There we go. That's some good advice to get us started. So on that note, could you walk us through some of the options we have to grow our own produce at home? What are the basic necessities to start a home gardening project?
So I always start with really good soil. You know, when it comes to soil, you need to get a soil that looks after not just the nutrients in the plant with the chemistry, but also with the biology of soil that's alive, you know, lots of organic matter in it, like compost, and also has a good structure to it. I mean, depending on what you want to grow, if you want to grow something that is tall, you need something that, you know, a soil that can, the roots can hold, have something to hold on to, et cetera. So good soil, right? And then you need a vessel, a pot, or if you're going into the garden, some kind of raised bed or something like that to grow your plants in. But, you know, a great place to start is get a pot and look for a decent-sized pot. We so often see people growing a plant in a small pot, and then they wonder why after a while it's going to die, often because the roots take over the pot, as it were, and, you know, don't have space to grow. Get a pot, put some stones or pebbles or broken old pots into the bottom, put a little bit of sand on top of that and some good soil, and put whatever you want to grow into it. Give it a decent amount of sunlight. Most plants need lots of sunlight, at least 5 to 6 hours of sunlight a day. Some plants, of course, do better with less sunlight, mm-hmm. Like gingers, for instance, or turmeric. You know, they can get away with less sunlight. And regularly water your pot. And I think, you know, if you start with these simple principles, start with stuff like mint or basil, like I said, and watch it grow and trim it often and look after it, and you should have some good success.
On the line we have with us H.O. Harbergill, Managing Director of Ground Control. We are today talking about urban gardening. If you have any questions, you can send them through with us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news coming up, but after which we will be rejoined again with H. So stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37 on the Evening Edition with Kelvin and Hizril, and we're talking today about gardening as part of our new series called Try This at Home. It's a sneak peek today, and actually starting next week, this show will be at 3 p.m. from Monday to Friday. Today's guide to gardening comes from H. O. Harbour-Gill, Managing Director of Ground Control. H, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, so we left off talking about soil earlier, just before the news. For a newbie, how would someone tell what makes a good soil? How should it feel or look?
I think there are a lot of soils on the market these days that you can buy. When you go to nurseries and stuff, you should look for a soil that's got a decent amount of compost in it. But the other thing is that soil in general is so important in you know, so vital in gardening. It's also something that if you're an environmentalist now, if you're looking to try and understand and appreciate more about the environment, learning about soil and understanding what makes good soil is a great, great way to help educate people about the environment and stuff. On a personal level, I've learned so much about sustainability, the importance of carbon, through understanding more about soil. So a soil that is rich in organic matter, has a lot of compost through it, for instance, is very good. But then, you also want to have some clay in your soil and some sand. You need to have drainage so that the water doesn't get clogged. Most of our soils in Malaysia, in our gardens, especially in the Klang Valley, are very, very clay-rich, very clay soils. Especially if you live in a new development, they've probably just dumped clay, and they call it topsoil, but it's actually just clay. And then they'll put grass on top of it. So when you're trying to grow into that, grow vegetables or fruit trees or whatever, it becomes very difficult, and there's not much nutrients in there. So you want to try and get more organic matter, and compost is a great way of doing that, into your soils. Yeah, I hope that wasn't too complicated or made sense.
Right. Now, H, we have a question from a listener. Kathy asks, where does one acquire good soil when most shops are closed at this time?
Yep, it is a problem. I mean, of course, Ground Control, the business that I run, we produce soil. So, of course, I'm going to say, great place to get soil is from us. But it is difficult at the moment. So if you have the space, one of the good things you can try and start doing at the moment is trying to compost and make compost yourself. It's certainly a good project to, if you're staying at home, maybe you can do in one of your episodes on your new series and just about composting, because you could do a show just about composting and how to compost at home. There's so many different ways. But I think some online sellers are still selling. I know our main online retailer is still managing to sell. So I think that's probably the best way at the moment, yeah.
Okay. And actually, yes, you're right. Composting is something definitely on our radar. And the next thing I think I'd like to ask is about a placement. Where should you place your plants?
So I've spoken quite a bit about soil, but the other things I've really mentioned is sun. And we kind of forget how much sunlight plants need. Some plants do better in shade, but they still need a bit of sunlight. So if you can place your pots where they're getting a decent amount of sunlight, you're going to have far more success for growing your vegetables, especially your local veg and herbs. So like I said, like gingers and turmeric and even sarai and some other things, you know, you can get away with less sunlight, but they still need a decent, you know, 2-3 hours of sunlight minimum. And then ideally, you know, most plants want 6+ hours of sunlight. So, yeah. So placing your vegetable patch or your pots where they're getting sunlight is important. Yeah.
Can at-home kits truly account for someone who's starting from scratch? How much knowledge do you need to keep your plants alive at home?
Well, I mean, it depends what's in the home kit. I mean, if the home kit comes with really good soil, then, you know, you're well on your way. The other thing is I talk mainly about growing naturally. So growing in soil. There are kits where you can grow aquaponically, hydroponically, etc. I'm not very knowledgeable about that.
Mm-hmm.
But those kind of kits come with, you know, the right chemicals that you need, etc., etc., for growing vegetables. So what we do and what we teach and what we encourage people to grow to do is to grow in soil. And one of the main reasons for that is personally, I've discovered that I think things that grow in soil taste better. That's one thing. And I'm trying to use as few chemicals and certainly pesticides as I can. So therefore, that's why we concentrate on the more natural methods. But yeah, so there are lots of kits out there that have got, and lots of natural kits out there as well, that have got everything ready to go, you know. And it's a good way to start, yeah. Germinating of seeds is also very, very, there's a few good germination kits out there and stuff, and lots of good videos online these days as well to educate people, right? So, yeah, not sure if that answered your question or not, but yeah.
It definitely did. On the line with us, we have H. O'Harbergill, Managing Director of Ground Control. He's guiding us through this learning of how to do gardening, essentially. Okay. So if you have any questions, you can call us 7733-2900, mm-hmm. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Send those questions through. We'll be back in just a moment. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is almost 6:46. You are with Kelvin and Hezriel on the Evening Edition. It's Try This at Home. And today we are recommending gardening. To help us out today is H. O'Harbergill, Managing Director of Ground Control. So, Haber, do you actually need a plot of land to grow vegetables? And what options can apartment dwellers or those with limited space explore?
Oh, certainly not. I mean, you know, pots are fantastic places to grow vegetables and stuff in, and people have been doing it forever, you know. A balcony, a windowsill. Of course, if you have land, you are able to grow more. But, you know, don't be scared of growing in pots. Hello?
Yep.
Hello?
Haber, can you hear us? H, can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry. There's a funny noise just then. I would say, you know, get a pot that is bigger than you think that you need. I see too many people trying to grow things in small pots. I would say go and get as big a pot as you can for your balcony. Maybe put 2 or 3 different plants in the pot. But yes, certainly pots are great, great options for containers of any type, you know, not just pots. Plastic containers, clay pots, whatever you have, and at this time, where you know we can't go out and get materials and stuff like that, you know, make do with what you have. Do a bit of MacGyvering and be innovative, and you know, look for an old, and see what you can do with it. You know.
And actually on the line, we have with us Robert, I think, who has a question. Hello. Robert, good evening.
Yes,
what question do you have?
There's a question I would like to ask. Can we repel snakes from our garden? Or how do we repel snakes from our garden?
Snakes?
Yes.
Snakes. Well, yeah, I mean, you certainly, I mean, you know, one of the common ways is that everyone uses is sulfur to keep snakes away. Another way is if you keep geese, apparently geese help keep snakes away, but not everyone can keep geese in their garden. I'm not really an expert on snakes and how to keep them away. I don't seem to have too much problem with snakes, but I believe sulfur is a really good. Yeah,
Robert, I hope that helped. We also have a question on WhatsApp. This one asking, I've tried to plant some microgreens with no medium. The shoots were growing well for a few days, but it attracted a lot of fruit flies, and there were also maggots after. What's the best way to prevent that? What's your suggestion there?
Oh, okay. So if you're growing microgreen in no medium, I suspect sunlight actually might be one of the reasons that it has, or lighting, you know. If you don't have sunlight and you're growing indoors, for instance, you can use artificial lights. A lot of these LED lights currently have the right frequency to help horticultural plants to grow horticulturally. That is what, you know, a lot of these indoor urban hydroponic farms do. Perhaps that could be. As far as the maggots, if you haven't got a medium, you've obviously attracted the maggots, the flies in there to lay eggs with something. It's going anaerobic in some kind. So I would need a little bit more information about why, you know, what you're growing it in for the maggots to understand why the maggots have come in.
Right. Now, H, we have another question from you from another listener, John. He says, Hi, H. Great to hear your gardening ideas. My daughter's asking, what's the best way to germinate seeds? We've got some old 3-year-old vegetable seeds and potted them a week ago and are still waiting for germination.
So really depends on how those seeds have been stored, what kind of seeds they are. You know, I have 3-year-old rocket seeds that I got from Australia, which I germinated. Funnily enough, they're fine. But then, you know, I've been discovering things that I've even stored properly in vacuum sealed containers and stuff like that. But, you know, seeds do degrade after time. So you try and get seeds that are fresh. Most seed packets have dates on them as well. And try and grow, you know, save your own seeds and grow them as fast as you can as well. But please check packets, the dates on packets on seeds. Mm-hmm. That's really, really important. And I'm sure the online guys are selling seeds at the moment, yeah.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Okay, so just picking up where we left off, I think we also have other questions from several other listeners. And this one comes from Jevs, which is about how to remove black dot fungus on curry leaves.
Oh, okay. I'm not an expert on that. You've got to be very... If you're going to go the natural route, the one thing I would say is that you need to be very diligent in the method, in the whatever you use to spray. You know, there are a lot of people who would use good quality neem oil, cold pressed neem oil, for instance. Some people would suggest using, concoctions of ginger and garlic and chili for various bugs and stuff. For funguses, I do know that you can get, I can't remember the name of it now, but I should send you a link later maybe, guys. Mm-hmm. But you can get other good funguses to fight off bad funguses, as it were. And that's one of the methods that you can use for, if it is a fungus, for instance, you know. But then the other thing is that
if there are some issues that some plants will have, that as long as the plant is healthy and producing newer, in the case of a curry leaf, newer stems, newer leaves, which are healthy, and then the older ones maybe have some of these problems with them. One thing, ways you could trim back the older ones. But, you know, if there are some signs and bugs or weirdness on a plant, it doesn't necessarily mean that the plant is not healthy. But there are lots of issues with bugs that they will completely destroy your plant. You know, if you let aphids take over your chili plants, then it will completely kill off the plant, as it were. Yeah.
So on that note of aphids, Janice asks, my plants seem to get aphids on the leaves and then they shrivel and die as though it's drying up despite daily watering. How do I get rid of them?
So, you know, if you do not want to use chemical pesticides, I don't know which part of the, you lost me out when I was talking about germinating of seeds, but I did rattle on a bit and talk about, you know, start with the healthiest seedlings that you, when you germinate your seeds, and work on them and build them up with good soil, with good nutrients, so they become very good, healthy plants. And then start the regime of spraying them with good quality neem oil and various other organic pesticides that are available now. But you've got to be diligent. Because they're not chemical pesticides, they are not designed to stay on a plant, for instance. So when it rains very heavily, then, of course, they get washed away and you need to, you know, spray again. Also in this kind of weather that we have at the moment, and if you're not getting sunshine onto your chili plants, for instance, then yes, aphids are going to become a problem a lot quicker. Yeah. I hope that kind of answered some of the questions. Yeah.
Definitely. And we have just about a minute left. And this is, I guess, the last question just for now. It is almost inevitable that some of the plants we work with will die, even if we try our best and listen to everyone's advice, which can be demoralizing. What advice would you have to deal with that?
Start with stuff that's easy. Start with stuff that you want, you like to eat and grow and use it. We use a lot of mint. So I, right outside my kitchen, I have a lot of mint growing and we trim it a lot and use it a lot. It does well in partial shade. The more you trim, the healthier it gets. But yes, even mint, it will die back, right? But have seedlings or have cuttings ready to go in another patch so that when this dies back, your next one is ready to go and healthy and you know, there for you. Thai basil, for instance, if you let it become a big bush and it flowers, eventually it will reach the end of its life. It's reproduced. And it will die back. But if you've kept cuttings from that and you've rooted them along the way and you've replanted it, then when that plant dies back, it doesn't matter because you've got the next ones coming along.
H, thanks again for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure.
That was lovely.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Stay and, safe. Yeah.
Good luck, everybody.
That was Harbour Gill, Managing Director of Ground Control. Now, if you have any more questions, please do send them in. Please keep them coming through. We will explore this likely again in the gardening part two in the future with Try This at Home.
For sure.
Now, just as a reminder, this series, starting from next week, will start at 3 p.m. I think we'll be maybe giving a chance at looking at DIY repairs you can do at home next week on Monday at 3 p.m. So make sure you stay tuned for Try This at Home. It's the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.